Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's the end of 2023 and we've barricaded ourselves into a gaming studio. How is everyone doing? You and Paz, and how are you feeling?
I feel like I'm a member of a live audience right now because you're there and then we're here and it kind of... Oh, maybe you're the live audience.
Maybe, yeah, exactly, yeah. Maybe I've attended this show.
The audience of one.
I was just interacting against the audience of one on the way in, so it's all very poetic. Hey. Adam Strawn, how are you feeling?
I'm very tired, but I'm very good. We had our staff night out last night.
We did. I was going to say we sang some songs, but we didn't. Adam Wilborn and Adam Nicholas sang some songs.
They did.
We bore witness to that.
We couldn't hear a single thing, though, in one of the places.
Shout out, but also a hell no to Rafi. That was an interesting place.
Never again.
Si White, how are you doing?
Yeah, great.
You're really good. Yeah.
Systems operational.
The best I've ever been.
Fine. I'm Scott Taylor, the host of the What Culture Gaming Podcast. Don't know exactly when this thing's going out, but I thought we'd do a predictions cast for 2024, because there's many things on the horizon, including the Nintendo Switch 2 and the state of Silent Hill, the live service models that everyone's going into, etc. And why not just do a group conversation? We never recorded like this before. Put you all on the couch.
It's so weird. It's weird.
It's cozy. It's lush,
I was just like, we need the room to talk in because there's only so many hours left of the working day, so why not? We'll just talk about things in order. First thing being Nintendo Switch 2. Do you actually think that's dropping next year? Silas, was your prediction?
Yeah, because, I mean, to be fair, I thought it was dropping this year.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to get ahead of everyone a little bit and sort of catch everyone by surprise, but I think if they miss next year, then what are you doing? You know,
I mean, they pushed so much stuff. The thing is, I thought they pushed so many things back. We didn't hear from them for ages. That they were like, hey, by the way, Super Mario Wonder and also Tears of the Kingdom. And it was like, oh, I thought you guys were holding these back to like showcase the next console.
To be fair, sort of like this last little, it is the last little era of the Switch, has been quite strong, you know?
Yeah,
Mario Wonder, like you say, we've got Thousand Year Door re-release coming out. Super Mario RPG just dropped. Like, it's been a low-key, really solid year for Nintendo.
Pikmin 4 all the way.
Yeah, for sure. But now I wonder, like, there's not so much you can get out of the Switch, obviously hardware wise but just like franchise wise they've kind of done everything. So Switch 2 sometime, it could come at any point, because I think the Switch released in May, I think, of the year it came out, so reveal could come at any time, the console could come at any time. It's obviously coming with Metroid Prime 4. It's got to be the case, isn't it? But then, other than that, I'm not quite sure, because they've just, as I say, freshly done a bunch of Mario. They've just freshly done a Zelda.
Yeah.
So what else really is going to be in that first year of the Nintendo Switch 2?
It'll be a Mario, won't it?
Just another Mario. Maybe it's another one. Mario Wonder Plus.
Yeah, 3D one. Me and you talked about Switch stuff quite a lot of the last few podcasts. I remember you're not, I think out of all of us, I don't know where you come down on Nintendo, Adam Strawn, but I remember you and you've not got a Switch. And it was like, you have to take something pretty
Nintendo
big to get you in.
Nintendo was an absent figure in my childhood. I mean, like, the extent of like my Nintendo involvement was watching the Pokemon anime, to the point where I always grew up thinking that the Pokemon games were based on the anime.
Right.
Because that's how my brain
it's
went.
The logical way.
Clearly it's the anime. Yeah, so I mean, I think it makes sense, you know, the Switch. From where I'm sitting, I'm like, the Switch, it's a great console. It might have some cursed ports. We saw the Mortal Kombat one. The Batman Arkham trilogy. Arkham Knight looks really bad on that game.
Yeah. Was that?
And so maybe Switch to, I don't know, I think they've got a really decent strategy going right now. Maybe want them to focus more on the exclusives still, because some of these ports are a little bit iffy. But maybe a Switch 2 could fix that issue. Maybe you could do a version of the Arkham trilogy that would look good on a Switch 2.
It's so funny, because every new Nintendo piece of hardware is like, maybe this is the time where they're going to do a bit more third party stuff, and it never works out.
Yeah, it goes horribly wrong.
That was the thing with the because the Wii U tried that and it was
horrible. there was a Call of Duty game, I think it's a launch game, and then after that it was just like meh.
No, we can't do this.
I'll start
stand up for Zombie U. I really love that game.
Great.
That's a fantastic game.
Remember when Zombie U was like the thing to sell a Wii U on? And it was like, I only played it when it
worked on me.
Yeah, on me. That's why I got it.
I bought a Wii U on day one.
Is that the worst console name of all time?
The Wii U.
Terrible, isn't it?
But it was like the Zombu or whatever. Like,
Zombu.
But then there was finally a version on PlayStation. And I was like, yes, it's all right. I need the tablet for it. Like, you need a little map and everything.
It's interesting with Nintendo. Like, I've grown up to appreciate them. So, like, when I was younger, I was like, Sega Mega Drive kid. Sega.
Right.
That was me.
Sega.
Like, yeah, Sega. And then, so that was me. Like, my friends played it. So I kind of had, like, you know, I was familiar with it. But I didn't have it in, like, our household. And then, like, the Wii U kind of... well, pulled me in first, Zombie U or Zombu. And then, but yeah, like once I got my Switch, I was like, okay, because like really, like Nintendo now are really known for that. They dominate handheld, like they really, really do. They do it so incredibly well. And right now, like in terms of competition, I know you've got like the new PlayStation like handheld that's just recently released, which you know, there's ups and downs about that in terms of like being connected to Wi-Fi and et cetera, having your console switched on as well. And then obviously, you've got like the new Steam Deck with the OLED screen that's just come out as well, which apparently looks gorgeous, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, Ali refused to get another one.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I only did a stupid purchase
but
once.
Mate,
I can't get
exactly. Play more Predator Hunting Grounds.
In OLED glory.
There you go.
It's a working version of it.
But no, I'm excited for like what they're going to do. Like, do we have any predictions of like what the new things they'll bring to like the Switch?
Well,
too,
like hardware.
Yeah, nice. Like what do you think they'll add on?
No, I know we talked about it before, where it's like the Switch is such a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But they've also, it's also not from a business standpoint, because they had two markets before with home console and handheld, and now they can't go back. It has
That's
to, you have
point.
To do the same thing again, because otherwise it feels like a step back. So I think it is, I guess, probably going to be just a more powerful Switch with maybe a couple of minor bells and whistles attached.
I see, my thing is like, they always lead with gimmicks. Like it was like the GameCube had the carry handle, and it was like the last time they just did a straightforward console was like the N64, and it's like with the Wii U, it was like the tablet controller, then the Switch
was
the hybrid.
GameCube feels very straightforward to me. I think having handle on your console doesn't
get it. It's portable.
We lived through the handle days. I remember everyone being like, it's the gimmick thing.
Back.
Yeah, imagine bringing your PS5 over to a mate's now.
Yeah. yeah. Put it on your backpack. Death Stranding
like
across
proton
the
country. Pack.
Yeah. But it's like, I was talking to Jules, it'll be a couple of weeks ago when this thing goes live, and he was saying that his theory is that the next Switch, the next Nintendo system, will be fundamentally VR, will be VR only. And his theory was that all the Nintendo Labo stuff and the cardboard VR was their test to see whether that would work.
Wow.
And by forcing everyone into it, that would be the next thing.
That's great, but I don't think it works.
Fundamentally, is a cost production issue I don't see them overcoming, because VR is still so expensive, and Nintendo, even though the Switch is still, you know, gaming is expensive as a hobby, but the Switch is still a lower entry price point in terms of the big console saga, so... that would be my only trepidation.
Well, the way that they did VR in Labo, which is hilarious, is just give you a cardboard sleeve and you just slot the Switch into it and then put it on your face.
And then
like,
kill
was,
your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, like, it worked, but it wasn't like, oh, this doesn't feel like a thing that they should do more of. It just felt like you're doing your version of it with cardboard. But yeah, that idea that they, like, whether they need to have a gimmick or not, and then it's like the Switch, like, people love the fact that it's a hybrid system.
Mm.
But it is interesting with stuff like the Switch Lite, how it's fundamentally only handheld, and they've sort of already admitted that most of that people play handheld anyway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I have a pitch. The Switch Army Knife.
Here he is.
Switch Army Knife. It's Nintendo Switch that can stab things. And open cancer.
If you're determined enough. Yeah. If you're determined enough, you can stab someone with a Switch right now. You've got to get stuck in. But yeah, we'll see what things finally come out. There was a report, it was like 2-3 years ago from Jason Schreier, about how the next Switch was ready to drop. Like you said, Si, everyone expected it this year. Mm. And it didn't happen. So it kind of has to happen next year. Yeah. But I guess we thought that this year. The next thing we had down is the state of Silent Hill. And the Adam Strawn, you think Silent Hill 2's remake is going to bomb?
I think it's going to bomb hard.
Gonna bomb its little bum off.
I think, honestly, it's going to...
Can't say the A word on the podcast.
I know, yeah, like... Oh, yeah, I was going to say something worse there, but never mind. Yeah, I don't know, like, Blooper Team, I don't know. Like, I don't get me wrong, I played a couple of their games. They're very hit and miss, more miss than hit for me.
Oh, I like Blooper.
And this is, like, I mean, I know that you do as well, we've had this conversation, but I think as well, like, you know, this is such an important, like, game for so many people in that franchise. Like, Silent Hill 2 for me will go down as one of the best survival horror games ever made in terms of, like... You know, psychological horror as well. It's just so well. Everything is so reflective of James's experience. It's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know if this team has, like, I don't know, the gumption and the gall to really take that
on. They got the maxi.
You haven't got the magic sauce. And I don't know, like, you know, if they do, because the only way they can really recapture that is do a, you know, straightforward, like, just copy for copy and like for like, scene by scene. And like, you know, we've seen great stuff done with the likes of, like, you know, with Capcom, like, remaking Resident Evil, when they're still adding new stuff in, but still honoring the original in such an interesting way.
Yeah.
And because it's the same team, right? It's Capcom just redoing the same thing.
Konami.
And, you know, and they're phenomenal. But mm-hmm. then, I don't know, like, this is a different team working on such a protected game out there. And then that, you know, trailer that released, nobody looked at that and thought, you know what, that looks pretty good. Everyone was like, what the hell is this?
Like, all the subtlety that was in there before, or the payoff that you're supposed to get later on, if you know the full story, is now just him crying into a mirror. Do you get how sad it is?
That's like, going to be me when this game releases, crying into a mirror.
That was most of the fandom.
But I'd love to be proved wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd love for it to come out and to be absolutely amazing. I go, you know what, like, you've knocked it out of the park, guys. But what I've seen so far, I think it's really going to
work. I think the whole state of Silent Hill is fascinating in terms of, like, they had Silent Hill Ascension is somehow still going. Like, that thing is still live.
What is this thing?
I don't even think anyone even knows what it is.
Wait, they did recently where it was like they posted a scene or whatever. So, what do you think is going to happen next? And they got like 300 replies of Grandpa Simpson sleeping. People are just trolling the hell out of this game. It's beautiful.
Spaz. Epic.
What is Silent Hill Ascension? Is it like a...
That's a good question.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. It's been going for weeks and we still, you know, to define that is a very tricky thing. It's essentially a free-to-watch TV series where you pay money to vote for canonical decisions.
It's all in-game. It's all in-engine. But it's loads of AI-generated.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but... What I'm saying is, it's a scam.
Yeah. It's dreadful.
Yes, it's, they sort of rolled it. And the thing is, when they did the big Silent Hill, I forget what they called it, they did that big stream last year, was it?
Transmission.
The big transmission stream, where it was like, look at all these different projects that we have in the works. There's a one called Silent Hill F, Silent Hilf, that is some sort of new installment. And then there's the remake of Silent Hill 2. And then they had Silent Hill Ascension. There's another
Townsfall.
One. Townfall, which is another one. So Silent Hill Ascension is like this week-to-week storytelling thing, which runs, I think it's for 6-week chunks, and it's all in engine, it's all in some sort of engine anyway, and a lot of the dialogue seems AI-generated, people vote on it, but also people can buy stickers for their chat, like to put in the live chat, and there's a one that just says, it's trauma, which is like the thing with Silent Hill 2, where it's like they're just trying to steer into character subtleties or character revelations over time to make a badge for it, because it's 2023. And so Ascension hasn't gone down very well, but somehow it's still... I think there's more of a curiosity into what story they're even going to do with it.
You've just listed all those games. It's a horrible way to kick off. Silent Hill's been dead for so long. Let's start with this abomination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't really get a lot of confidence about what's to come next.
And it's another weird thing is that, like, in terms of the feat to put forward, like, Ascension is doing well. I guess it's doing well enough to keep going, but it doesn't seem like it's not looked upon very
Everyone
favorably.
Seems to be focused on Silent Hill F. That's the brand new entry, mainline one.
Yes.
It's completely different. And it appears to be set in Japan. Uh-huh. It's cool. Okay, let's focus on that one. Could be good. Everything else, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's focus on this. Problem is, it's made by Neobards. Not a problem with Neobards. You know, they seem like a fine team. All they've made so far is Resident Evil multiplayer spin-offs. And they're in charge of the next big Silent Hill game. It's like, that does not seem like a sound decision.
Hey, that worked well with Mass Effect Andromeda.
About that.
Yeah, that didn't work well at all.
I will say, you know, small teams need to be given chances like that.
Yeah,
but Silent Hill, dead after all this time, seems like a very odd decision.
I was also thinking it was just so weird to lead with Silent Hill 2. I get it if you're just doing Business 101, it's the most fan-beloved entry, but assumingly there will be a whole generation of people who didn't grow up with it, who are like, well, why would I start on number 2? How do I play number 1? And you just can't.
You don't need Silent Hill 1 to play Silent Hill 2, though, do you? But I do understand, you know, people that would be like, well, I'm not going to get this because I haven't played the first one.
Yeah, or maybe you could, like, rename it or something, like Silent Hill colon something.
It's such a weird strategy overall, because, like, obviously people have been crying out for Silent Hill for years. Like, I mean, like, you know, we have been in many ways. And then for them to go, right, I'll tell you what, we're going to give you like 70 games of all like different types of games. And like to start with Ascension, which takes like two of the worst things really from like, you know, like live service and everything like this, like from...
Trying to monetize a live chat.
Literally that. And then AI as well, like taking two of the worst things right now and putting it into a game.
They say we have it is not AI written, but you watch something and the manager turns up and goes, I like making jam, and it disappears and you're like, what?
That's
so bizarre. Uh-huh.
That scene that got shared where someone's in like a forest, they're slowly investigating this forest at nighttime, and a character just pops up and says like, hey, who are you? I don't know, I just like making jam. Oh, okay, bye.
Bye.
And the scene just continues. It's like, what the hell is this? The Matrix is collapsing. Oh. But that's just a very much we'll see thing in terms of next year. I wonder if the blind faith purchases get people into Silent Hill 2 and how much lead time they give reviews, because I feel like that's something where they might hold the reviews back and then just be like, it's a Silent Hill 2 remake, and just that'll fly for a little bit and then it'll all come out about the reality of how much has been changed for the story, because we also have the Pyramid Head origin story.
why
to be fair they've said that is a misunderstanding.
Oh, thank God.
I think it was a retail lister that put something up and misunderstood a press release.
Oh, okay, cool. For that.
But to be fair, Silent Hill 2 is a Pyramid Head origin story.
Exactly.
But I think they've come out and said, no.
Right, okay, good. That's something in the right direction, because it was the fact that I wouldn't have put it past them is also pretty indicative anyway.
That's the upcoming DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
Like teenage Pyramid Head, like growing up in Silent Hill.
Listening to Evanescence in
just coming out there.
Oh my God, yes. Like eyeliner, like on the pyramid itself.
I would take that.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with Silent Hill across the year. Next thing down is just the state of live service stuff. As we're recording this, news just came out that Naughty Dog are cancelling their Last of Us multiplayer game. I think it was just called Factions, but whatever that was going to be, it's now cancelled. And in the statement, it's very, very telling, because they say that they've cancelled it because if they would have to devote too many resources to it and it would take away from the single player games that they have in development, which is very much in line with what everybody was saying when the idea of a big, large-scale Last of Us multiplayer game was in production anyway. And it also comes after Bungie's internal review, where apparently they were very much hired as the experts on live service stuff because of Destiny. And they did some sort of internal review with all the various live service games that are in production, and they came away from that saying that Last of Us wasn't ready, it needs to be delayed, it needs to have a lot more work done on it, and now it's been cancelled. And Bungie, their financial results show that they missed their targets by about 40 or 50%. They were like way down, and they've suffered layoffs as well as many other studios have. But overall, this push into live services everywhere, lest we not forget Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, is also next year. And I wonder if next year is finally the year that we give up on this overall and just go, hey, stories and gameplay mechanics is the thing.
I think the weird thing with this, and we spoke about it briefly before we came on, is the idea that if you make a multiplayer game right now, it needs to be supported with a live service for years and years, otherwise it's seen as not being worth it. Remember when we were like growing up and playing multiplayer games? Yeah, there'd be DLC, but the words live service never really came into it, and the DLC was always really optional. You didn't have to play all the Halo 3 DLC to enjoy Halo 3's multiplayer. You'd be missing out on a bunch of stuff, but it would still functional and it'd still have an active player base or whatever. It's interesting to me that the mental attitude here seems to be that like we need to have a constant stream of content, seasonal content, to keep people invested, include MTX, do all that stuff to make the game be justified. And I guess when they're putting that much money into a multiplayer title to begin with, that makes sense. But it is interesting because I think you could have a standalone Last of Us multiplayer game that you may occasionally support with DLC.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be hands on deck the entire time. And again, I'm not privy to live service development. I don't know how much stuff like goes into these games. But it seems to me that we're missing that kind of multiplayer game now. We can't just have a multiplayer game.
It has to be a 3-year supported.
It has to be like live service. Like even Call of Duty back in the day, you'd have a couple of DLC maps, a couple of DLC packs that would come out. You'd maybe get a new zombies map, a couple new multiplayer maps, maybe the odd gun. And now it's like, oh no, we're going to have a constant stream of season passes where you can unlock all this stuff. It just seems very, very weird to me.
I wish that they would lead with the simplistic thing. Just get the multiplayer mode out there, see if people like it, and maybe you monetize it afterwards. Like, it was funny seeing Nintendo realize that everyone still loves Mario Kart after Mario Kart 8, where the sales for that, the Switch version was so high that they were like, oh, we're not going to do Mario Kart 9, we're going to push that right back, and we're just going to do track packs for Mario Kart 8. And they've done that for the last like 2 years or whatever. And some of that could be pandemic related in terms of like turnover, but I love that. I love them just acknowledging we don't need to do this big like the next thing or drag it out, we can just do this thing instead. And that's something that I just wish more studios would do. Just get a cool gameplay mode out there, and then just see what you want to do with it afterwards. Like you said, you don't need to lead with years of stuff. But ultimately, the sad part of this is that we're not getting a Last of Us multiplayer game at all. And it was a weird little niche thing anyway, but the people who liked Last of Us multiplayer like me, it was a cool mode.
Factions was really cool. Yeah. I want to see more multiplayer like that. And that's the frustrating thing about this, is that I totally understand it makes sense for Naughty Dog as a studio if they think that they need to allocate their resources to make sure that they'll or have more, you know, award-winning single-player experiences, right, then that makes sense. But it is kind of frustrating that they've spent this much time already on a Last of Us multiplayer, you know, component. It'd be a really unique space. We keep on talking about how much PlayStation has been arguing that they're going to miss Call of Duty when it goes to Microsoft, and yet haven't been investing. Well, they have been with
been trying a little bit,
Bungie
yeah.
or whatever, but they've not got their unique multiplayer thing down yet. And while I'm not arguing that Last of Us could be that, it is one of their most popular PlayStation-branded IPs.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of daft that they've not been able to make this work, and if they thought that they couldn't make it work and they have to choose between two things, put more resources into Naughty Dog so you have a live service component of the studio so all that work doesn't go to waste. It really frustrates me.
And also, like, you know, they really were like leaping before they could stand up in this case, like in terms of they had it at the Game Awards. Like, it was alongside the Last of Us Part 1 remaster announcement, but it was still like when doing Last of Us multiplayer, they had the key art for it, and like there was some story stuff leaked for it in terms of the setup. Like, you were a bunch of characters in a mansion looking after it, going out on missions and coming back and everything. And so, like, it seemed that they had like the grounding for it. But yeah, overall, I think that the live service push from bigger studios is largely going to go away. I feel like the only live service games that are being maintained are the Among Us's or the Fall Guys. It's things like that. You've got the bigger ones like Call of Duty and like Halo Infinite's had a hell of a resurrected time across the last couple of months. That thing's actually phenomenal at the minute. But still, overall, I feel like everybody doing it all at once, most of this year, and especially with Suicide Squad being pushed back, there was a general acceptance, I think, from most people, or like to say, we don't want this and we're not going to play all these games. And I wonder if 2024 is just where that all kind of comes out. Especially on Sony's side, the amount of games they've got in the works, like Fair Games and that Cash one. I forget their name. There was like four or five they announced. Helldivers 2 was another one.
I'm looking forward to Helldivers, though. Okay. That looks like a fun little co-op time.
Yeah, I'll be amazed if that... I mean, that like, looks like solid enough gameplay-wise. I wonder if that ends up being like a one-off. But Si, what do you think of the live service approach going into next year?
I hope you're right. Mm-hmm. I like how you framed it as like, is it the year that we give up on it? It's like, by we, do you mean the industry?
Just the average
I already,
person,
I don't
guess,
care. Yeah. So you doubly give up on that we. In terms of the Last of Us thing, like, I didn't play the online mode so like previously, so I don't know, but I only ever heard good things. And it is odd that they have sunk that much time into it and cancelled it, because it's the only game I think we knew about first party wise from Sony next year. We've gone from 1 to 0. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm sure there are going to be games that we just haven't been told about, but it is really odd.
This is like a worthwhile pivot.
Very strange time.
Yeah, this is like a worthwhile pivot to bring in, like the state of Sony going into next year, because like they doubled down so much on the live service stuff, and a lot of that, I mean, it's just my own thoughts on it, but my opinion on that was that it was the Jim Ryan approach, where it was a very cold, naked, business-like approach to it, where it's like, live services are the thing, that's what the kids like, look at Fortnite over there, we should have five of them, and green light five different live service projects. Yes. All the trailers bombed on YouTube. Nothing went well. And you've got various veteran staff members leaving or being fired. Now The Last of Us isn't happening. Jim Ryan's stepping down next year. He's announced his retirement. I don't think any of that initiative worked whatsoever. And I think it'll take probably all of next year to recover from that in terms of getting more irons in the fire that are more single player related, and go from there. But Adam Straw, what do you think?
Oh, God, I hope it dies. Like, seriously. I mean, like, I think what's really important from this year is that it's such a reflection on, if you let developers just do what they are good at without forcing them to do something which is recapturing, you know, Fortnite or whatever, then it really shows their hand. So, like, I mean, you know, we've had Alan Wake 2 right now, which is a game that we haven't had like that, you know, a game like that in so long, and yet it's done so incredibly well because it's doing what they do best. Mm-hmm. It's not going to live up to, like, creating some type of wild live service, which... realistically, no one cares about it.
Yeah.
Like, and the same with like Baldur's Gate, you know, I keep hammering on about that game, but it's such an important game for the industry, which shows you don't need that to make a really, you know, incredible game that a lot of people love and does incredibly well. Mm-hmm. You know, we see it all the time, a sad state of affairs when, like, you know, we talk about Anthem before, right? BioWare pushed into trying to make a live service game that failed miserably because they're not that type of studio. And I'm not saying they could never do that, but I'm just saying, like, for companies to come along and be pushed in that direction, it just doesn't make sense, and it shows its hand. And then we've got like the Suicide Squad game obviously coming out later on. God knows what that'll look like. But you know, it's the same type of thing again, where one studio mastered one particular type of game, and they really, really did.
Yeah.
And then this came along, everyone went, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which seems to be the overall thing, like, internally, that, like, a lot of those teams, if you're going off the rumors, going off why Connie Booth was let go, because she was one of the oldest studio heads that had to look after those various teams, and a lot of them internally were saying, saying we don't want to work on this multiplayer stuff.
Yes.
And assumedly she was let go because of the inability to bring people together on that other vision, which is completely fair, I think. So I think you were going to say something there, but maybe not.
Well, just like the ratio of success when it comes to live service seems to be ridiculous when you look at the games that have actually taken off compared to all of the failures we've had.
Yeah.
Maybe businesses need to look at that and be like, you know, let's not contribute to that second number, actually. Let's do what we can do and stick with it. Like, or rather, let the studio do what they do.
I think the big it's over moment for me was when like Blizzard fumbled the bag on Overwatch.
Yes, Overwatch 2.
Oh yeah.
We're talking about the most one of the most brilliant live service success stories of the past decade. You know, a brand new IP, kind of really kickstarted the hero shooter trend. You had loads of Overwatch imitators. I still maintain that Overwatch from 2015 to 2021 is one of the best playing shooters I've ever played.
I think it was phenomenal.
Just fantastic. And then they messed it up with Overwatch 2 and like walked back some of the promises on like the single player side of things and then messed with the meta. I think fundamentally there is like a breakdown of trust, and I feel like without that trust you don't really know, you can't really back live service to succeed continuously, because it's a case of so many different player bases now numbering in the hundreds of thousands have been burnt by a bad live service experience.
Yeah, that's true.
So which means that you're going to be left with just a few left over, like the Fortnites, which, you know, succeed on the money of plundered parents. So, you know, it's one of those where I'm kind of like, speaking personally as someone who likes multiplayer games, I don't want live service as a concept to die. But I agree with you, Adam. I think you need to stop pushing studios in that direction if they come from a different background. That's to say that studios can't be, you know, versatile with their genres or whatever, but certainly, you know, anyone who's played the Arkham trilogy wanted a new Batman Arkham game or a Superman game. They didn't want to, you know, jump around and swing around and just shoot things.
Snaps for that.
Shooting glowing weak spots. Yeah. For hours on end.
I want to do that in House of the Dead 2. No.
Yeah. Shout out to the two of you getting the high score in House of the Dead 2.
Oh, honestly, that was a trip down memory lane. I loved every second. The voice acting was horrendous.
Oh, I know it was.
Honestly, but
the thing about it.
It melted my heart, though.
Gabriel.
Like, yeah. Like,
Goldman.
Goldman. And like even like Goldman's mouth moved and nothing came out, and then later on it would like speak as it was off camera. Like,
I
genius
when facial animation was just the head would jodder a little bit, like the original Metal Gear was just Snake head banging for a bit.
And that's why the original Resident Evils are so good, because it's always the same like arms moving reaching out. Yeah, like
giant plate
I'll
hands.
Go look for her, you go find us a way out of here, just like so good, man.
Pointing all over the whole hand all the way over there. Oh, that's just great. And we pivot a little bit, speaking of Sony, into some of the Wolverine leaks and the state of Insomniac. And like they sadly suffered a whole leak. It would have been weeks ago by the time this podcast goes out. But things that revealed, there's a couple of Wolverine screenshots. That's their next game. And there's a tease. The Spider-Man 3 was mentioned in there. And then there's apparently a Spider-Verse game that's mentioned.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Well, which ties into an Easter egg that was in Spider-Man 2 as a game. Ewan's got his head in his hands. What do you think?
I'm so sick of the multiverse, man.
Same. It kills everything.
Yeah. Like, if we're talking about like Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League being a game that looks like it was envisioned 5 years ago and is now out of date.
Yeah.
If Insomniac are genuinely working on a Spider-Verse game that is due to release in something like 2026, 2027, I know we've got another Spider-Verse movie after the most recent one coming out. Not next year now, I think it was delayed as a result of the strikes, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, I think we're going to be completely burnt out and fatigued on that. Even with Spider-Verse Riz going for it, I do not want to see that.
Spider-Riz.
I'd much rather they just focus on what they're doing in terms of how they built their own Marvel Universe and stuff. I do think Marvel's Wolverine has a really good chance of coming out next year, just blindly because it's Wolverine's 50th anniversary. He was created in 1974. You know, 50th anniversary celebrations, that would make a lot of sense. And it just kind of made me think of back when we got Marvel Spider-Man in 2018, and you had that like great year for Spidey in between. Like, it was the Spider-Man game, Spider-Verse came out, I believe there was Avengers as well. So, you know, maybe the stars were aligning for a Wolverine game launch at the end of next year, maybe. Or maybe they'll ride that anniversary buzz into the following year, but I would hope to see that, and I'm looking forward to some Wolverine action. There were some Wolverine action figures that were announced yesterday by Hasbro, and one of them is Patch with the eyebrow with the eye patch on, and I'm kind of like, if I can get a suited Wolverine with an eye patch in Insomniac's Marvel's Wolverine, I'll be very excited.
We should say, speaking of costumes, that he has the orange, yellow, tan costume in the leak, which is a very good pick if you're in a new age Wolverine costume for the masses. Yeah, I have such a conspiracy theory with Sony's approach to Spider-Man, where I think that they are just being corporate overlord 101, and they have this idea of everything being multiversal.
Do you think Madame Web might come in?
Maybe.
Oh, with the line, the famous line.
Imagine if he's died in the jungle on a monster. But like, yeah, every move that they're doing, and I thought they kind of speed ran the progression to get there in Spider-Man 2, is like, yeah, that Spider-Verse Easter egg felt random and like just kind of not in line with the tone I thought they were setting up in that entire canon. Kind of the same with some of the stuff that you do where you're jumping to different locations by warping through portals and stuff, where I'm like, I get you need to set this wider universe up, but at the same time, I didn't think you were going to do one. I thought it was a very specific thing, but I feel like you have Sony going like, okay, what do we have the rights to? How do we get as much money out of this as possible? Let's greenlight all these different movies, like the Madame Web movie, and there's still other stuff coming, right? Like Silk and whatever. Aren't they doing?
Silk was, again, spoilers for Marvel Spider-Man 2 if you haven't played it and you're looking forward to it on your Christmas list.
There's a reference in
there. There is a reference to Silk in that game. There's this Kraven the Hunter coming out with Aaron Taylor Johnson. Those things are so nakedly, brazenly cynical that I kind of have to applaud them for it, because it's just like, I know, you know, everyone knows what you're doing. And it's really, really funny.
They're going all in.
I would just hope that it's one of the few remaining superhero genre bright spots in terms of wider media right now. I would hope that in something like are able to resist temptation, because I know the multiverse is fun, and Spider-Verse, those movies are some of the most acclaimed animated films of the past, you know, 20 years.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they want to get in on that, but I sincerely hope that is a case of early nonsense. I can't see them doing that. And to be honest, after we get Spider-Man 3 and after we're done with Wolverine, I would hope that Insomniac maybe go and do something original again.
That's the thing, because they're becoming the superhero studio. Like, you know, they've got Spidey, many, many Spideys, and then they've got Ratchet and Clank in there somewhere, but then obviously the next one's Wolverine. Assuming that probably crosses over, and then maybe you do Avengers stuff.
You know what would be hilarious, but also dreadful? you know how, like, in the news recently, there was all that hoo-ha about Robert Downey Jr. coming back as, like, Iron Man, potentially. Can you imagine if he came back at the end of one of these games voicing Tony Stark in the game, and he was like, "We're putting together a team," and like literally that was the joining.
And just time repeats all over. Can you
let it through? Because we're in a time now when things just repeat. I mean, this would be awful, and if it does happen, you heard it here first on this podcast. But honestly, just no. But I will say though, like I, you know, the idea of a Wolverine game, if they really go all in on it and really knock it out of the park, would be incredible, because we've had decent Wolverine game in the past, yeah. Right? And I really think, like, Insomniac, you know, have the framework to make something really incredible there. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting, like, you know, if other studios as well picked up, like, some of those solo adventure, like, give me a Wonder game. I'd be all over that bad right. boy playing that witchy badness. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think there could be some
That's
really...
What you call it.
Yeah, witchy badness, the Wonder game. But there could be some really interesting stories told with these characters. And, like, you know, we're getting teased now, teasers upon teasers with the X-Men coming into the MCU as well. God, I hope they knock that out of the park, because, Jesus.
They need to do something.
They really do. But then we've got some solid games out there as well. And we've talked about X-Men games in the past as well. And, like, it'll be really interesting with this modern iteration of how they pull it off, like with the Wolverine game. So I'm intrigued to see how it's going to fold.
Yeah, my overall thing was that, yeah, I totally agree. And it's the characters, it's the stories that ground it. Like, yeah. It was the, because the character writing and the, storytelling was so strong in Andor, it punched all the way through my Star Wars fatigue, yeah. Where I was like, oh, I love Andor, it's phenomenal. Mm. You can argue that thing would work just as well as just a World War style movie anyway, or a military kind of movie. But still, if they nail the character stuff, it's great, which is why I think them doing things like multiverse as a random Easter egg was just like, oh, this is corporate 101. It's
a distraction, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's pure distraction. Like, the reason why those games resonated with everyone was because they pushed Peter Parker as a character forward when the comics and movies have landed him in a static place for so long. You know, we don't care about crossing over with, but it's a fun novelty to look at and point out at the big screen, but we want the emotional gravitas of these games, and like, multiverse stuff just completely undercuts that.
Yeah, and also like that big crossover, the thing that set it all in motion, like, in terms of the compilation movie, like the Avengers, was because we had character movies first. Yeah. Like, we did all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which I guess you can argue we've had the Spider-Man backdrop, and you get Wolverine, and maybe they're building to a similar thing. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. It's a weird thing with Insomniac where they could end up just becoming the superhero studio. Sam, do you have any thoughts on the state of all this multiversal madness?
Yeah, I mean, much of the same, really. Mm. Like, my superhero fatigue, kind of same as a lot of people. Like you, Scott, I got off from Endgame. I was just like, I pretty much pre-planned. I was like, this is it for me. I'm just kind of out. With the exception of Spider-Man, because I love Spider-Man, so I'll keep up with those movies. And of course, the games were great. But there is a problem now where if we don't have the separation of identity between the games and the films, and we do wind up having a Spider-Verse game as well, then there's a problem there in terms of that fatigue. Like, I've got it on both sides here. So yeah, I'm not really sure how to feel about that. I'd like it kind of just wrap up and for Insomniac to move on. I'm optimistic and interested in the Wolverine game, despite not being necessarily a Wolverine person, but Insomniac have my trust, and I'm very interested to see how they handle that, because clearly it's going to be very different. Mm-hmm. That said, despite being quite anti-leak, I had to laugh about the Wolverine leak, because I'm sure, you know, I imagine, you know, hacker man, like, leaks are hard to do. Like, I've got to go undercover, putting my reputation on the line or whatever.
Yeah. What did you leak? Thick glasses on your mustache.
Yeah, exactly right. And they leaked like 12 by 12 pixel images of nothing. Like, great. I didn't get anything out of it.
It was the threat that they were going to depixelify them or something, potentially. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
I think it was like, we've got, this is in low res, but if you keep this up, we're going to release it in 4K.
Oh, no. It's like, genuinely, it would have been like, if we hadn't known they were working on a Wolverine game, then it would have been like, wow! Yeah. It's like, well, yeah, they're working on a Wolverine game, so that's what it's...
Yeah, yeah. It's like them thinking they can hold the studio hostage. Like, as we're recording this, I think that's still ongoing, whether they're still investigating it. Mm-hmm. And the hacker teams are like, you've got to pay us, so we'll leak everything, or whatever. That won't work, it never has in the past.
It's like the GTA thing, it was the exact same thing with GTA 6, and those guys went to trial.
Yes.
So it's a case of like, well we know the precedent here. You want to mess around with video game companies?
It's like, how do you think you're going to get paid? Like, just you're going to use PayPal? Like, someone's going to come with you? Case full of money. Like, it's not going to work.
Big bag with a dollar sign.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Sneaking in with it.
Here's your simoleons.
But it's like, yeah, we'll see how that stuff shakes out. Yeah, Insomniac, one of my favourite studios. I think they are like the best studio in the world right now in terms of the amounts that they turn over and the general level of polish. I thought Spidey 2 obviously had its moments with polish. Some people had that weird little cube glitch.
Oh, we love Tony Spider-Man.
Ours, yeah.
And there's like a few little Spider things cube. Like that, which is quite surprising from them, because everything else to now has been bang on. But to me, that points to that overarching corporate thing of trying to stretch them even thinner.
This goes back to what Sony needing more games. Yeah. What I would like them to do is to give Jak and Daxter to Insomniac.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Just saying.
I love Jack and Daxter. I would take anything that was...
If there's a studio that you would trust it with outside of Naughty Dog, it's Insomniac, I think.
Yeah, same.
It's time for Gex the Gecko to return.
He is coming back.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's only a remake for now, but they're remaking...
what? <one.
laughs> I can't think what you call... the team that bought the rights, but they announced a few remakes, and it was like Gex and a couple of other old school games.
The Gex team.
Yeah, the Disney Gex. G's themselves. But yeah, we're getting Gex in 2024, so you can add that on as well. GTA 6's second trailer is worth chucking in, because if you look at the cadence, I've been using the word cadence quite a lot recently. It's quite nice. But using cadence of the release of the previous GTA trailers, it's always been a year in between them, and it was with GTA 5 as well. And so the prevailing thing at the minute is that we've got the Lucia trailer the other week, a month ago, whatever it was, when this comes out. And the assumption is that we'll get a Jason trailer at some point in 2024. General thoughts on GTA 6, even though we've talked about it quite a lot already.
Quite excited.
Yeah.
Quite excited. Editing videos on it has made me go back to play GTA 5, which has actually just increased my excitement.
How are you finding GTA 5?
I'm enjoying it.
I haven't touched it
since it basically came out, to be honest. So it's nice to go back into it and just, you know, cruise around. And
yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, Rockstar don't miss when it comes to characters. Like, instantly, you have a touchstone with every major character. Mm. And yeah, I'm just really excited to see how they do that again with GTA 6 and the lessons learned since GTA 5. It's been a full 10 years, of course. So, I'm quite excited.
I'm so curious with GTA 6 how... like just how it goes in terms of the general conversations around it. It feels like it's been this omnipresent thing since GTA 5.
Yeah.
And it's like, now we finally got the trailer. It's in record numbers at the time of recording. It's like 110 million views or something on YouTube. And is it just so omnipresent that discussions on it and coverage of it is just no one's that bothered about anything other than the official trailers? Because it's such a bygone assumption that you're definitely going to buy it. Who's not going to buy it?
Oh, God. Like, I mean, yeah. It's all right. We're a year, maybe two or whatever out. We all can say with a certain degree of confidence that this is going to be the game that makes the most money ever.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Probably like, day one as
there's
well.
No question. Yeah. It's like, this is it, you know.
Like, if anything, supply issues or
yep.
something.
Yeah,
that's a very good
they
point.
They just fixed the PS5 supply stuff. What if this ends up upsetting the production? There was like people when the trailer came out being like, oh, I hope this comes out of the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, people being like, oh, I better get
the PlayStation 4.
Struggling, just screaming as you
turn it. I'm waiting for the Switch port, maybe.
Eating a hamburger in GTA 6 and watching my PS4 go up in fumes.
Oh, God. Yeah, that whole thing. I mean, that's a 2025 predictions thing for this time next year. But still, like, everything's going to get out of the way of that game. Like, God help you if you're releasing anywhere
near
that.
Oh, God, imagine.
I think there'll be like a 4-5 month birth. On
Everyone calling up Rockstar being like, oh, can you move your release?
Yeah, do you know what this is going to be?
I'll be your friend.
Actually, as we're recording this, there was a thing breaking on Reddit that there was a cleaner in Rockstar's studios who apparently had been verified. And they were talking about what they saw. And the rumoured release date is September 2025.
Well, that makes sense. Okay. GTA 5 was September 2013.
Right, cool. They were just talking about the bits of the map that they've seen. But
there
they
was
said,
a, yeah. I think, you know what the Grand Theft Auto community is like, where they've been looking at everything for a GTA 6 announcement, like zoom, blown up images, trying to find clues. But at the beginning of
my screen again.
Yeah, there's a plane that flies over the city with like a banner hanging off of it, and it says something about 919. Everyone was like, right, okay, so it's September 19th.
Uh-huh.
So that falls vaguely in line with that. So
that thing's because
could genuinely be a hint.
That's it's also a religious meaning thing.
I was going to
say
redemption.
Okay.
Yeah,
in real life, yeah, that number, that 919 thing is specifically because in real life, Florida or whatever, there's something called 10-10-10. Or something, it's some company or something, so it's a reference to that. Sadly, for Floridians listening, it'll be very obvious what that is. But I
so basically,
know.
I have become one of those GTA. Like, this is a thing, it's
only September 19th,
ignore everything else.
But yeah, that's a 2025 thing, but I think we'll get one more thing, probably close to this time next year for that. Final talking point for now is the game Exodus, which is coming from Archetype. They're a studio made up of loads of ex-BioWare devs, which has been a long time coming. We talked quite a lot just before about forcing single-player minded people to make multiplayer stuff. Very much what happened with Mass Effect Andromeda, what happened with Anthem. And it seems like, and I don't know every individual member of the team that's left over the years, but a ton of old school BioWare devs have formed this team called Archetype, and they revealed a trailer called Exodus over at the Game Awards. It was the one that Matthew McConaughey is heading up, and it just seems like
he's the director.
He does everything,
bringing it all together. But it seems like that this is a return to old school BioWare. The things that are all over the trailer and the press releases are that these are the members of old school BioWare that brought Knights of the Old Republic together. And so I think this is going to be a whole thing, maybe not necessarily across next year, but a lot of old school studio identities, I think they'll come back, but it'll be from side studios. Mm-hmm. You see it in general anyway, but I'm sure you're very excited about this.
Oh, I am all in already. This is literally my jam. Like, they're saying all the right things, obviously, and like, you know, Drew Karpyshyn being back for me is like an instant win.
Yes. Because
that man can just write anything and I'll read it and I'll play it. You know, like, as I said to you before, like, Anthem, you know, like, had so much disaster around it because, hey, it was a terrible live service game, but the writing behind Anthem was actually solid. Like, the story and the world that was built was actually really good.
Yeah, it was fun.
It just, you know, you just didn't get to see a lot of it because it was like, go out and collect these things and then bring them back, you know, like live service crap. But but no, like, I am really excited for this. Obviously, there's some great talent that they brought back in. I should say, like, ex-BioWare people working on Cortan, things like that. They're great titles. Mm-hmm. Drew Karpyshyn, for me, as I say, a fantastic writer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, heading up the main kind of world of Mass Effect as well, which I'm really, really excited to see what they're going to do with this. Mm-hmm. And then Matthew McConaughey, man, like, one of the coolest. If we don't get an all right in this game, then why even bother?
He's changed that to pew, pew, pew. That's how that went down.
But no, I'm super pumped to, like, definitely hear more about the game, obviously, to see, like, more of it as well. Just to see, like, you know, what type of world are we going into? What are we building up to? Like, what are we building out to? I'm just, to hear, like, about new IP like this from people that are so incredible, who have worked on IP, like, in the past, have done original things and worked on established IP, but have still done original things, like with Kotor. Like, I'm just super pumped, man. I'm so excited.
I'm hoping that they take whatever lessons they can from the more, like, action-focused side of BioWare, like, the way that Mass Effect 3 started to play, and you got more of that in Andromeda, and obviously, especially in Anthem, but I always thought Anthem, like, played well enough in terms of the raw gunplay.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can get something that is dialogue-driven, conversation-driven, character-driven, but then when you're on mission, it's nice and chunky and responsive and stuff. Right. There's a way to actually do that, which, like, you wanted to hope that's what they were aiming for years ago, but it was just way more life service-y and just very repetitive in terms of the mission designs and everything. But I guess general thoughts on the old BioWare coming back.
I'm interested. I have a bit of a problem getting into Western RPGs. I found BioWare Bethesda, it's hard to keep me stuck in. But if you get the balance right that you just said, and what we've seen of it, it looks like they were like, here's some gameplay stuff, which is always nice. Yes. And that's a nice...
So at the end of the trailer, it was like tons of CG. And then
it's like, gameplay? Yeah. You know, so that's nice. So leading with action stuff, obviously that makes the most sense to start with that. But it did get my attention in that sense.
Yeah.
And especially because, and this is sort of, I guess, kind of a sidebar, but I am deeply cynical now about video game trailers because we've had several, kind of recently, we had the new Mass Effect thing, and now there's a lot of talk. It's like, well, I wouldn't get too excited because it's not coming out until 2028 or whatever people were saying, you know, an Elder Scrolls 6 reveal that everyone got pumped for about 10 years ago. And I'm like, why are you getting excited? It's definitely not coming out.
We've got a logo, guys.
And that's the way it's going. Like, some video games now are getting announced 6 years in advance.
Yeah.
So when you get a trailer that goes like, it's a brand new IP, you've never heard of it, it's from people you trust, and also we've got some gameplay at the end, so it's definitely actually in production.
Yeah, something's actually here.
Something's coming together. Interested, I would say.
I think that was my thing. It's definitely the old school BioWare thing that caught me in. Did you check this trailer at the Game Awards?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, old school BioWare. Like, pre-Mass Effect, I couldn't really get into those games. I know it's sacrilegious. But I'm fed up with the stunt casting. Like, what is Matthew McConaughey doing here?
Right.
I find his whole shtick really boring. And I'd much rather they just did, like, they didn't have to go. We had that conversation.
Maybe you can kill him, you never know.
Yesterday as well. Yeah. Maybe you could. Maybe you could.
If the game makes you play as him, you'll just run him off the nearest cliff.
Just kind of, it just feels like it's more cyberpunky and, like, meme actor. We got actors. Look, actors and thing. And I'm just sell the game.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Especially with, in that same award show, all the stuff happened with OD, the game OD, and Hideo Kojima, and look how many people I've got. That's a whole thing to sort of explore across the year as well. I mean, I put Exodus on here. We don't think we have a definitive release date for that, but assumedly we'll get more from it next year. And it seems pretty far along in terms of the trailer, even though it did lead with CG stuff. When they did show the gameplay, it looked really solid. So we'll see. For now, this has been the War Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford. That's been Ewan Patterson.
Bye-bye!
That's been Adam Strawn.
Sure.
That's been Si White.
Ciao.
Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas, and we'll catch you all very soon. Goodbye.
I nearly whipped.
Wait, we should do a choir.
We're all singing different songs.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.